If you are visiting, just to kind of tell you a little bit of our format, we, for the last few weeks, have been teaching the Word first and then worshiping second. And the only reason that we're doing that is because we really felt God lead us to do that. And we found that it's really enhanced our time in the worship. So you might be wondering, how come we're not starting with music? That's why. Also, during the time of worship, after the teaching, there's communion tables available both in the front and in the back. And we just want to make that available to you anytime you would like. Don't feel shy to get up during that time and on your own or with your family or friends and take part in communion. Through the time of teaching, as the Holy Spirit speaks to you about your relationship with the Lord Jesus, it's going to, I think, during the worship time, open up that aspect of renewing covenant, in a sense, remembering the covenant that we've made with the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, we're blessed today, too, as we begin to have some very dear friends I've asked to share with you. They were here last week, and I want to give them some time today just to share a little bit with you what God is doing in their lives, what He's speaking to them, and what they might feel if God had said anything to them for us. Mario and Janet Rodriguez are dear friends. They were in leadership here with us for a number of years. They are really an outstanding leadership couple, quality people. That's an inside joke. We were talking yesterday. She said she hates that term, quality people, because that means that there are some that are not quality. That's the inference. And we know that everybody is created in the image of God and therefore of great value, right? So we decided to use the term low grade and high grade instead, which is even worse. No, seriously, though, they are wonderful people, and they are really outstanding leaders. They've relocated to South Africa a couple of years ago. Come on up. Let's welcome them and bless them. And oh, I'm sorry.
Amen. That's right. Well, Lord, we just pray right now that just the time that Rick has given to us, Lord, we pray that you would just speak into through our hearts and just through our testimony and just in what you want to do, Lord. We pray that we'd hear your voice for this church today in Jesus' name. We love you, Lord. Amen. Let's just read from Psalm 27. We're going to read a couple verses, and we want to talk a little bit about what the progression of what's happened to us, because in the last 12 months, things have changed dramatically. And when we left in June of 2007, so it's been a year and a half, what we're doing now is not completely different, but it's about 90% different than the reason that we first were called to South Africa starting in the year 2000. So let's just, can you find it?
Sorry, teach me your way, O Lord. This is Psalm 27, and I'm going to start in verse 11. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me in a smooth path because of my enemies. Do not deliver me to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me, and such as breathe out violence. I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, wait on the Lord.
We were reading the Word of God separately this morning, and this is the word I got from Psalm 62. My soul, he's speaking to his own soul. He says, wait silently, starting in verse 5. Wait silently for God alone, for my expectation is from Him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I felt like putting only in every one of these. In God only is my, I'm going to do that, is my salvation and my glory. He is the rock of my strength, and my refuge is only in God. Trust only in Him at all times, you people. Pour out your heart before Him, and God is a refuge for us. For those that we know, actually most people that are here today, so that's kind of cool. But it was we started relating to NCMI, New Covenant Ministries International, in 1998, I think it was early, maybe late 97. Janet and I went with most of our leadership to a conference in 99. We met somebody from Africa, and then he invited us to come to Malawi to go into the nation. So we got a passport, and we went into the year 2000, in September of 2000, and for the first time in our life, and we'd been in this church since 94, so it'd been a few years, and we were serving on the deacon team, and we were called. We were in the middle of this country, in the middle of nowhere, and the first day we got there in the bush, I wrote, "I can't wait to get out of this place. It's awful." Nothing was familiar, and we weren't close to anything, and there were thousands and thousands of people. And by the end of our 5 days there, we loved these people. They had nothing. They're the poorest people in the world, not at war. I mean, they had nothing, but they had poured out. We went to the shopping areas that they had, such as they are. We went to funerals. We had just prayer time together. We just fell in love with these people. And Janet, and if you know us at all, our personalities, young man, our personalities were quite different. In fact, we were talking to Julio and Cookie today saying, remember when we took that marriage thing and we did an evaluation and there were like seven couples here and they were most polar opposite. We had the most problems, you know. So here we are together in Malawi getting ready. We're splitting up because she's going to take Vince and come back. And we just said, I don't know what this is, but we feel called to this kind of work, to this place, to this continent. And so we told the leader, and he said, well, his name is Henny. Henny said, well, you got to do some things here. First of all, go to another continent, and then come back, but you do everything this next trip by yourselves, and bring people with you from your church. So we did. We went with Todd in 2001 to Brazil for that interesting trip. How did you feel? You want to take it? That was a hard trip because they end up, he's called there, he and his family, Todd and Sherry, and we couldn't wait. I remember I was sitting in the plane as we're taking off, and it was like, I don't know how to, because she's weeping because we've left all these new friends. And I'm like, oh, I hate to say that. I got to tell her, look, I hated Brazil. And I never, it's okay if I never go back. What was your response?
Good.
You were like, thank goodness. I'm crying because I'm going to miss all these friends. So we had this confirmation. Okay, so it is Africa. And anyway, it's just this progression between 2000 and we went again in 2003. We had a horribly hard trip. Dana was on that trip. Laura was on that trip. Hard trip, I'm telling you. We did it. We did it all ourselves. We did all the things. We got our cards. We made a bunch of mistakes. We learned a lot. And so then we went again with another team in 2005 and did it much better. And we met with Henny and we said, we still feel called. He'd been doing this to us, Americans. They're all passion, but they, you know, when it comes to actually doing something, he just didn't. We kept coming back, though, and we kept bothering him and talking to him. And finally, I met him in Africa in 2005 before our team went and said, we're serious. I'm 50 now. I'm 51 years old. And we can actually retire. It'd be better to wait a few more years. But if we can retire now, we'll have enough to live on. And so he offered a test move for 2006. We were there for 4 months. It was also very hard. Went on lots of trips. Went to different places. Now we're going into other countries. But at the end of it in October, after I got over malaria, we're sitting there, and the leader of the local church that we were part of, called The Junction, and Henny, they said, you're invited. You're a good fit. We think God's calling you here. It's going to be up to you if you guys still fit. So we came back here. We tried to sell our house. We gave everything away that we could, and so 7.5 years from the day we got called, we actually got on a plane and flew out, and we left our church. And we went, you want to?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, you're not saying anything.
Sorry, I'm going to fast forward really quickly. If you had to take us landing permanently in South Africa to where we are now, why we came and why we're there worked out to be something completely different. And what we thought it would be and what it is different from, they don't line up. And our hope and our challenge has been to know who we are and to remain in the grace of God. And I want to say that as we share with you, we know that you know us. We know that you know that we're not pretending to be anyone by sharing anything with you. But I know that all of you can hear us right now from wherever you are, and to know that where you are today isn't probably where you imagined God would have you. And to know, as we read just from Scripture, that our hope will only be in God, that our hope, our identity, how we view ourselves, Him, others, and our experience will be in our beliefs about who we are, who others are, and who God is. And I think that one of the things, the first scripture that I read, is that I would have lost courage if I had not believed that there was going to be hope in the land of the living. And I know that we're all here, and I know that I'll see you all again in heaven. But I had to know that God was more than just heaven, that He was going to be more than just the finish line. I had to know that He would be made manifest in our experiences. I knew that He would have to glorify Himself in our efforts, no matter how much we messed up, no matter how much we thought it would be different. And I know now, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that I have power in God, that I have a place in His house, that I am His daughter, and that's my only identity, that I am not Janet, an African-American, the probably truly only African-American that's here, that I'm not Janet who's called to Africa, and I'm not Janet who has homeschooled my children, and I'm not even Janet, Mario's wife, that I am the daughter of a king, and I have a place here on earth, and I have a place in heaven that has been made possible by the blood of Jesus Christ. And in sharing this with you, we can say honestly, we're about to go on a plane to see our other three granddaughters tonight, and we'll see them for 2 days. And then we come back and pack, and we're on a plane to South Africa, and we won't see everyone again for another year. And I can rest in the fact that God is my Savior, and God is my righteousness, and God is my identity.
So just the message for the church, I think, is what we've learned in the last year, which is whatever you, when you get, well, let's put it, let's back up. All of us have received prophetic words, I hope. If you haven't, we need to seek it and begin to get prophetic words for your life. And they settle into your heart. A lot of times you write them down or you keep, I mean, we've got a prophetic word from Greg Mira in 1990 from a conference called Hearing the Voice of God. We still have the tape. And he prophesied to both of us. And you keep these prophetic words. But I think the biggest problem we have in the American church is we think, oh, it's going to be this. And we're going to be doing these things, and I have gifting in these areas. And so you begin to plan out how it's going to look and how it's going to happen. We went into the nations, and we were pretty good at it. But at one point, we took a trip last year to Sudan a year and a half ago, 46 days, driving. We're just sharing that a little bit with Matt and Shannon last night. It was hard. It was a very hard trip, and it was very dangerous. But we wanted to grow up in this area. But what it did is we realized when we came back that we were not submitted to the local church. We're submitted to this apostolic person who says, I want you to now begin to start traveling a lot. That's why we thought we came. He says, after that trip in Sudan, Mario, I want you to come with me, and we're going to go into Turkey, and we're going to go into Libya, and we're going to go into Morocco, and we're going to start doing the Middle East more. And it was like, okay, that's why we came here, right? And there was nothing in my heart that wanted to do this. I felt like we were finished because of this long, painful trip. And the leader of our local church said, we need to step down off the deacon team because you guys are gone a lot, and we want you to. And it was like, we loved the local church there. It was great. It's a wonderful church. It's very diverse and very complicated, and we were a nice fit. So we just asked him, I'll tell you what, why don't we work with you? You work with Henny and decide what trips we're going to take. We became submitted into the local church. We gave our hearts to it, and Henny's health was starting to slip, and everything changed. So all of a sudden, we were working in this church full time and doing deaconing like we did here for so many years. But then we began planning events, and we were just like doing all kinds of things. And next thing you know, we're attending eldership meetings, and they're bringing us on to eldership. And then they brought us on to eldership just as we did a church plant into this terrible township called Dipslut. Don't start. Dipslut. And it's 800,000 people, very poor. It's separated slightly out of about 7 miles outside the kind of borders of Johannesburg. And our church is, half the people from this church that we're part of is from Dipslut, half is from the very wealthy neighborhoods around what they call Daneford and Four Ways. The church is already unusual and dynamic, but here we have half the church is very poor. Anybody you know, every single person, 150 people, very poor, traveling to this 7 miles to this church. So we thought, the church is running out of room. Let's put in a church plant in Dipslut. We'll have an elder-led church plant. And now all these leaders, our deacons and our leaders, can get experience leading prayer, doing things. So all of a sudden, 2 months later, I realize I'm preaching every Sunday. I'm leading guys. I'm prophesying. It's like, what in the world's happening? I never thought of myself as leading a church, much less a large number of young men and families. You know, I mean, it was like, what in the world's happening? It's like everything we seem to do, because we're American and we're an interesting fit, we have God's favor in our lives right now. We're floored by that. They had us do a marriage class. We just, oh, okay, sure, whatever. We show up, 15 couples, all unsaved. 19 of the people were smokers, and they wanted to improve them. 3 of them have separated, and they don't want to get back together, but this is their last chance. We just walked in, sat down, and welcomed them and began to introduce ourselves. And man, I'll tell you, for 8 weeks, we had a blast being non-religious. We keep doing things and doing things. I look at the people in this group today, and I just see talent and gift. But I also see just the effect of what the city has on you. We felt it as soon as we came back. We landed in Cairo, and Chris can testify to this. This is a Muslim nation, and they watch the Christians, and it's a police state. There's more police than people. And there's a stronghold, the Muslim fatherless stronghold over this place. And it's heavy, but we come in as light, salt and light. Rise and shine, for your light is, we're light.
Just to touch on the differences, and one of the things that we talked about as we were coming over, being here in Sacramento, back in Sacramento, I can say, I mean, just as I look at all of you, and you can probably testify to this, that it is a consumer-oriented church here. Not this church, but the church in Sacramento seems to appeal to the people who are looking in. And we were saying, I mean, we just had a visit with Rick and Kathy yesterday. And as we were leaving, we were in tears because we said, you know what? We love Rick and Kathy. We absolutely are indebted to them for what they've put into us. But they never tarted anything up for us. When we weren't released to do something, they were honest in why we weren't released to do it. And without that honesty and without that fathering, that parenting that they gave us, I don't think we would have survived 2 months in what God had called us into. And by the time that we went to Africa, we were spiritual adults. And but at the same time, I have to say that once we went there, the things that we thought were our strengths, like the here's, you know, I'm very good with children, I feel called to teach, I'm a fabulous wife, and then here's these things that I thought I wasn't good at, like I'm not very gentle in delivering my opinion, probably I laugh too loud, and then I'm not very good managing money, and then here's the stuff that's my trophy case, where I'm prophetic, the Lord uses me here, the Lord uses me here, and the Lord uses me here. And when we went to Africa, this whole thing was knocked over into acid and became a soup that was unrecognizable to anyone. And I stood there trying to define myself based on who I used to be. And it won't do in the kingdom. We have to know who we are in the Lord. And you're not going to find that in a church that's stroking you. And you're not going to find it in a place that is, it's serving only dessert. If we wanted to be completely honest, I would say that I have never, as a group, met a more spiritually gifted group than who's in these four walls. But how many have gone and used their giftings? How many have stepped foot outside of this country? How many have become familiar with poor people here? How many of you have laid down your lives literally for what you think is right? And how is God calling you to do that, and how can you do that today?
It's good. It mindsets. Rick and the elders are supposed to provide you with some sort of ministry opportunities. I mean, who do you work with? Who do you meet with? Who do you meet with your children and your... I mean, you're Christians. For those of you who are believers, you're believers. There's something, I think the church needs to know that it's our responsibility, each person, to intentionally do things to cause us to get mature. We keep waiting for leaders to help us get mature. Leaders are men and women that you go up to and you say, help me do this. And they all will. You know, it's like Julio. Bonk. You want to do that? Okay, I'll tell you the way it's going to be. We love that because he does it in love and he means it. But each one of us needs to begin initiating our Christian lives in the areas that we know that we have passion for. We're waiting for someone to tell us to do it or to give us permission to do it. See, the church in South Africa is shockingly mature. If Rick walks through here and doesn't say hello to someone that knows him and they've been coming for a couple of months, in South Africa, they won't leave. They won't. We've had some cultural things. We had involving someone who was buried, and they have all these tribal things going on. The eldership made a decision that said, no, we're not going to send someone all the way up into Zimbabwe to go to this funeral. Total, that's the most offensive thing you could ever imagine doing in a culture of people. Not one person left. They just come back. Because their heart is, God, this is where God put us. Has God called you to this church? He either has or he hasn't. If he has, then now go to work. Start spending time with God. Read your scriptures. Find ways to minister. I was just thinking, I saw a Jim Ascension. I remember Ernie used to work in a school. I don't know if she still does. She was working in a school for... Set up and ask, you guys, can we do a marriage enhancement class at this school? You know, you don't have to make it a big church thing. It's not. I mean, it's a marriage enhancement. It's using the principles of God. I mean, you know people. How can you initiate? It starts saying, God, you know, I've been kind of focused on all my circumstances and my problems. Instead of starting, let me just start doing one thing for you, starting tomorrow or tonight. You know, just, and then ask him for strategies and just put people in our lives. See, the church in the U.S. is not mature. And they want to find someone to blame because that's our culture. I mean, that's the way I used to do it or feel that way. When Mark Deschain ran forward when we were Vineyard, and I don't know if you know Mark DeShane, powerful guy, and he said, and I prayed for him, and he started hugging me, and I was this brand new guy to this church, and Rick says, you know, I said, I need help. This guy's really complicated. He's got tats that shows he's part of a gang, and Rick says, so what are you going to do? What do you mean? You know, I need some, no. He went right after it. He says, keep me in touch. Let's talk. You want it? I'll make myself available. But God's put him in your life. He's put people in your lives. And we might be, just pay attention. Just say, God, revelation. Just give me personal revelation. We're going too long, aren't we?
Yeah.
Okay, let me just, there's a stronghold over this church. Last week, Rick says, hey, anybody got a word for the church? I'm standing over here like this. Yeah, I got kind of a, I think that's a pretty good word, but I don't want to go forward. I don't want to be wrong. I don't want to look stupid. There's something about this church, and I don't know what it is, but I think it's part of the stronghold that sits over this city. We don't want to look stupid. We don't want to be told that what you have isn't for this moment. We're embarrassed. We want to look foolish. I want to pray for that right now. I'm going to push it a little bit. I want you to stand up if you're under that. I want you to stand up, and we're going to repent because this church needs to hear from God. And sometimes he's going to use you to share something that the church needs to hear. And we're standing there shaking because we're too nervous and scared. Pride, that's what that is. Fear of man, radical. So if you struggle with that, I want you to stand up. Just be honest. Now, there's a lot of you, so it's a lot easier to stand. But stand up if you struggle with, if you hear a word, if you have fear of man issues, even if it's light. I want you to just pray to God. I want you to do business with God. I want you to just repent. Just talk to him right now yourself. Just talk to him. Say, Lord, I hate this part of me. I wish I wasn't scared to do and to say things. Lord God, touch me. Change my heart. Give me boldness. Give me courage. Give me the strength to say, you know what? My faith is real, and I'm going to trust you. Just do that.
All authority in heaven and earth has been given to us by the power of Jesus Christ. And in the name of Jesus, we break whatever power thinks it's here. And we just rebuke any wrong words that have been spoken over this church, either to individuals or as a group. And by the power of God, we break them. We thank you, Father, that you have made yourself available to even the weak and the stupid, Father. You are the best, Father, that you have made us strong by your power. Lord, we just raise our hands to you, and you see us here bare and naked and having nothing. And we've come to you to buy the most precious thing, Father. Pour out your spirit on us, Lord. By the power of your grace and mercy, we come before you knowing that you have all things to give us and that you have already given us all things, that nothing in the kingdom has been denied to us. We thank you, Father, that you are a good and giving Father, and that all that we have heard about you, Father, is nothing compared to who you are. I pray, Father, for right thinking and power and grace over these people. I pray for our brothers and sisters that they reach the destiny that you have made for them. In the name of Jesus, we pray.
Amen. Yes, Lord. Thank you. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Now, here's the most amazing thing. Because sometimes you come forward and you want to share something. And if Rick's leading the meeting, sometimes he says, no. You know, you're like a mailman, you know, just deliver it. And if he says no, cool, you should be going back to your seat going, I did it. Amen. You should be celebrating, you know, I want more, God. Now, I can't wait till next Sunday when there's like 80 people lined up here giving words for...
We'll be in Johannesburg.
We'll be in Johannesburg. We don't have to worry about it. So, but you know something? But your leaders will gently and lovingly help you with this. I mean, we need to hear from God. And if if it isn't the right moment, sometimes, I mean, sometimes it comes to you. Anyway, this is just, that's just, I just feel like this is just something. I felt it last week like we hadn't been gone at all. Here I was, oh, I don't want to go forward and look dumb. And I thought, what in the world is this? Because we do this all the time in Freedom in our church, in our local church in Johannesburg. So, and one other thing I want to say. I just felt like God just wants to remind us that we are the bride of Christ. When people receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, there's this incredible, sometimes extremely emotional, amazing reception of the power and the truth that you realize that God loves me. The creator of all loves me and all the junk I've done. He loves my heart. He's loved me from all. But I think we forget that God loves the church, that we are the bride, that Jesus loves the bride of Christ. We need to love each other. I think we miss that sometimes. And if you look at 1 Corinthians 13, you look at what love is and what love isn't. And you realize he's talking about our relationships with each other. We're not going to get along with everybody in church, but there's something about saying, I need to love the church. If I'm having a hard time or the church is going through a difficult season or hard season, what's our attitude? The attitude is, I have been crucified with Christ. I am so excited to be part of this. We get to worship God in a country that so much needs God that there's got to be kind of a refreshing, a kind of a, just an infilling of saying, you know what? Now things are, we were struggling a little bit. We had a couple families leave. We've had these, you know what? We get to worship God. We get to hear incredible worship team, we get to be in the presence of God. And you know what? You're going to get to hear the word of God preached clear and concise. Last week, we're listening to Rick preach. We're just going, we're getting washed in the truth of the word, the power of the word, the revelation of the word. The teaching since we were here for about 14 years. We always could count on knowing that we're receiving the word of God in its fullness and in its truth. That is so important. So I just put this in your heart. Begin to, in Psalm 119, starting in verse 27, watch the writer who focuses on worship and he focuses on the power of the word of God. But he begins to say, God, and he starts off by saying, cause me to stop lying. And then for the next 25 verses, there's like 10 different places where he says, make me change in this area. Cause me to be different here. It's like he says, I'm doing not very good at this. I got bad attitude, and I don't feel very good, and I don't feel spiritual. And it's like, okay, God, I submit myself to you. Lord, I pray that you'd cause me to just love my wife more. It's like, you want to pray for yourself? Do that. And pray it, because that's a courageous prayer, because then you're saying, God, change me and watch out. Because he will. But you've given him permission to, because you love him and you trust him. If you love him and trust him, you will begin to pray, I'm struggling in this area of drinking. Lord, pornography, computer games, whatever it is. I drive too fast. Whatever it is, God's the Spirit of God will say, I can help you with that. Amen?
Amen.
So love the church. Love the church. Your whole attitude will change in anything that happens. And I'll say, if you're not very good like working with kids, sign up. And work with someone who loves to work with kids, and it'll affect you. God will change our hearts. He wants to change us. He has changed us. And we're saying more. 2010, we want more. Amen. Bless you guys. Thanks for the time.